Well, I will say this. As Bill watched that video and said, "That looks like an awesome time." Guys, it is an awesome time, and I really want to encourage you to be a part of that. And as you listen to the little bit of the speaker, part of the challenge for us is to learn to really walk with Jesus in a consistent way and to make that a part of our regular journey. And sometimes, guys, it's good to get away, to have a bit of a break, and to be focused on that and to be challenged on that. It's going to be the second weekend in September, and so I would encourage you to do that. We will send out another link this week in our emails to all you guys, and so we're going to send that out so you guys get a copy of that. Really want to encourage you to sign up. If you need help going, I want you to take, where's that communication card? Who's got a, hold that communication card up, let me see it. Okay, bunch of you got it. Guys, on that communication card, if you need assistance to go, right on there today. Put in the offering plate later. Andrew, we could really use assistance and go. Would love to go, but would need some assistance. We have money to help you go. So we want you to go. We want you to be a part of it. Okay, guys? Yes. I'm waiting to hear from you guys. Okay, guys?
Yes.
All right. Now, Winchester says you can talk back. I'm okay with you talking back, too. So, guys, we want you to go. And that's right. Ladies? There's some other things that are coming and that are available for you, but it might be a more of a ladies' Sunday than a guys' Sunday that Sunday, and that's okay. We'll figure out what we'll do up here. We'll get it organized. But guys, we really would love to see you be there for the weekend. So we'd love to have you come. Okay?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Very good. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll jump into things. Father, I just want to say thank you again for the privilege of opening your word. Father, for the privilege of learning what it means to be transformed men and women. Father, to track the journey of what you have done with the people of Israel, and then to ask, okay, how does that apply to me, and how do those things reflect back to who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us? Father, I would just ask that you would bless our time. Encourage us in the word. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Turn with me, if you can, in your Bible, or follow along on the screen, and we're going to look, and we're going to start out on Joshua chapter 12, verse 1. And we're just going to look at that one thing, and you'll see it in the notes, promises made, promises kept. And that's an important thing, that's a kind of a big deal. But we see Joshua 12, verse 1. The Israelites struck down the following kings, and I would encourage you, I'm going to go quickly here, I'm going to skip over a bunch of stuff, but you should take some time to read the stuff that's in between. In fact, this Sunday, and this particular message, this is one of those Sundays, and this is one of those messages where you want to, when you get home, take the time to reread the scriptures that I'm reading, and to rethink through those scriptures. Because I'm going to be walking through them a little more quickly, but I would encourage you to take the time to slow down in this week and read through them. Because we're talking about who Jesus wants us to be. We're talking about some of that transformation process that Jesus wants to accomplish. But the first thing I want you to see is promises made, promises kept. The Israelites struck down the following kings of the land and took possession of their land beyond the Jordan to the east and from the Ammon River to Mount Hermon, including all the Arabian eastward. And it stops. But as you continue down the rest of that chapter, it gives a little more description and then it names and identifies all of the kings and all of the area taken. Here's what I want you to recognize and one of the things I really want you to get. God promised the land to Abraham. Do you hear me? God promised the land to Abraham over 400 years previously. Think about a promise that was made before Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Or maybe around the time that Columbus sailed the ocean blue. God kept his promise.
Amen.
So I want you to understand that because that's super, 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 super important. Because we read through the Word, we read through the Scriptures, and we see the promises of God, we hear the things that God says, we talk about things that God says, if you do this, and I will do this, and if you do this, and I will do this, and some of the things we're going to be talking about are, again, that transformational things. One of the things we're going to talk about is how He has prepared good works for us to complete in advance. So God has us, we're going to get there, but God has a stack of things lined up, ready for us to do, and planning for us to walk and to live in, if we'll follow Him, and if we'll trust Him. What we're saying is God has prepared things, planned things, and made promises, and He keeps His word.
Amen.
God keeps His word. That's one of the things you really need to understand. So as we come to that, we don't just read through that and say, oh, okay, well, they took all the land and they got all the land and they fought here and they fought there. No, okay, that's really, really, really good. No, we need to understand that God made a promise and He kept it. We have a God who keeps His promises. We have a God that we can count on, that we can depend upon when He speaks. And He's spoken a lot. Okay? He has spoken a lot. We have it in our Bible. We have what He has told us in the Bible. Now, I would pick up my computer because my Bible is on my computer. In fact, I got like 30 or 40 Bibles on my computer. Okay? Now, we could also walk down here. Now, you can grab this one. Okay? And we got a paper one. This is one translation. Now, if you don't have a Bible of your own, there's one in the pew in front of you, feel free to take it. If you don't have a Bible of your own, there's one just like this in the pew in front of you, feel free to take it. But in here are the promises of God. And He keeps His word. We gotta recognize that. Oh, I didn't realize there was already one up here. This is the fun part of actually having something to put things on instead of just a table. Now we've got two. Okay. He keeps His word. Guys, you got to remember this. And I'm going to, you know, my dad was a bookbinder. And I saw the book, the Bible's in there upright, but I tried to put the other one and it fell down cattywampus. And you got to kind of put your books in places correctly. That was kind of one of those things drilled in me. You know, if your dad wasn't a bookbinder, you may just kind of put your books around and leave them, however, and leave them open so that it breaks the binding. But kind of was drilled in me a little bit earlier, don't break your book. So, but, you know, God keeps His word. God keeps His word. And that's one of the things you really need to see. That's, for me, it jumps off the page. God is keeping His word. God has kept His promises. Don't doubt God. Now, does God do things we don't understand? Absolutely. Does God bring things into our lives sometimes that we wish He didn't or that we wish were different? Absolutely. But does God meet us in that place? Does God take care of us in that place? And does God shape us in that place? Absolutely. Because He also keeps His promises to us in that journey where He will never leave us nor never forsake us, where He will transform us after the image of Christ, and where we know that all things work together for good that are called according to His purpose and called according to His glory. All of it works together for good. But we also need to recognize that all that together for good has an eternal perspective, not just a temporal perspective. Okay? But everything God does, God keeps His word. And so as we look at the word, we look at the scriptures, and we see the promises of God, recognize that God keeps His word. Don't ever doubt that. Now, the next part then for us, God is keeping His word. We need to work at keeping and practicing the sanctification process. That's our responsibility. We need to work at practicing the sanctification process. Go to Joshua 13 verses 1-8. It says, Joshua was now old and advanced in age, and the Lord said to him, you have become old, advanced in age, but a great deal of the land remains to be possessed. Again, as we talked about this last week, he took all the main highways, he took all the main thoroughfares, he took all the main cities, but all the secondary roads and all the small towns, now they need to go back out and they need to occupy the land, finish occupying the land. And but God talks about this, and so we'll get there. He says, from the side who are east of Egypt, of the From the side who are east of Egypt to the border of Ekron on the north, considered to be Canaanite territory, the five Philistine rulers of Gaza, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron, as well as the Avites. In the south, all of the land of the Canaanites, from Arah to the Sidonians, to the Aphek, and as far as the border to the of the Amorites. The land of the Gibeonites, and all Lebanon east from Baal Gad below Mount Hermon to the entrance of Hamath. All the inhabitants of the hill country from Lebanon to this other place, all the Sidonians. I will drive them out before the Israelites. Only, can you hear that part? Man, we want to just go right past that. This is another promise. This is another declaration that God is making. So he's identifying where all these places still inhabitants reside that need to be driven out. But God says, I will drive them out before the Israelites. I will drive them out. Only distribute the land as an inheritance for Israel as I have commanded you. Therefore, divide the land as an inheritance to the nine tribes and half of the tribe of Manasseh. Now, God knows how to do math, and you're saying, time out. I thought there were 12 tribes. Okay, I thought there were 12. Why is there only nine and a half being discussed here? Well, don't forget, the priests are not going to get, they're not going to get particular land. They're going to get cities, and that's going to be distributed. Manasseh is divided into two parts. I think Benjamin's kids, one of each of Benjamin's kids gets a part, okay? But you also need to remember that on the other side of the Jordan are two tribes. And so when they, remember that they're coming to the promised land, they went up, the Moses led them up on the east side of the Jordan and conquered the kingdoms in the land on that side. And two of the tribes and half of the tribe of Manasseh asked Moses, Moses, can we have our inheritance on this side of the Jordan River? And let the rest of the nation have their inheritance on the west side of the Jordan River. And so some are on the other side, and some already have received their inheritance. But all the fighting men have gone with Joshua. Okay, and they went across the river first. They weren't thinking, okay, we got our stuff, we got our spot, we're good, the rest of you can figure it out. No, they also went with them. That was part of the agreement that they made with Joshua. You can have this land, but you go with us to take the land. And so now, with the other half of the tribe of Manasseh, the Reubenites, the Gadites, had received their inheritance from Moses and gave them beyond the Jordan to the east, just as Moses, his Lord's servant, had given to them. Now, distribute the land. Now this is kind of like God giving you a present. You have to open it, but you don't get all of it at once. Okay? Did you ever get a present like that from somebody? Did everyone get a present of a car? And after you got the present of the car, your parents gave you a payment book and an insurance card? You know? It's kind of a little bit like that. Okay, you've got the present. I'm giving this to you. Now the down payment is made. Okay, and by the way, I will help you make those payments if you trust me. I'll help you take the land if you trust me. It's like the parents saying to their kid, here's a payment book. We'll work together making the payments. We'll work together on paying the insurance. But it happens over time now as you are faithful, and as if we work this together right, it's all yours. That's what's going on. And so the land, there are big portions of the land still occupied by the occupants. But God says now, distribute the land. Now their responsibility and their sanctification process is to now take the land. For them to be sanctified is to now to start to take the land. Jump down a little bit to Joshua 14, verses 10 to 12. This is a conversation that's going on with Caleb. And you remember Caleb? Joshua and Caleb were the two spies that Moses sent into the land. And both of them said, the Lord will give us victory. And the other 10 said no. And so God prolonged the lives of Joshua and Caleb. And Joshua became a leader and Caleb became a leader of his tribe. But both of those men were there who lived through the period of the wilderness and also were the ones who had explored the land. As you see, this is Joshua talking, as you see, the Lord has kept me alive these 45 years as he promised, since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel was journeying in the wilderness. Here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was the day Moses sent me out. My strength for battle and for daily task is now as it was then. I don't know about you, as you've gotten older. Any of you who have gotten older lost a little bit of energy? Okay, I got I was having this conversation with Winchester the other day. He said, I got to tell you, don't have the same energy I did when I was your age. Not so with Caleb. Caleb is running the young people crazy because they're having difficulty keeping up with him because he's just as vital now as he was when he was younger. He says, so only good. Now give me this hill country the Lord promised me on that day, because you heard then that the Anakim are there as well as large fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me and I will drive them out as the Lord promised. What's he going to do? He's going to sanctify the land. He's going to follow. He's going to be obedient. He's going to be faithful to the things that God has called him to do. That's part of what it meant for them to be sanctified. That's part of their obedience. That's part of their faithfulness. And God had also told them and promised them, I will drive them out. But you need to go and you need to pursue the task. Now, we talked about this last week, didn't we? In particular, when we talked a little bit about John and Romans 9 and that whole tension and the sovereignty of God. This is one of those things I've learned about the sovereignty of God. God has foreordained. I believe that with all my heart. I was talking to Winchester about this the other day. I believe it to the point where if a bug hits my windshield on the way home, I think God planned that in advance. As crazy as that sounds, okay? As crazy as that sounds. But here's the other side of the coin. I chose to drive that highway. My life follows the choices I make. My life follows the choices I make. And I wake up every day and I make choices all day long. All day long, I make choices. And I make decisions. Now, I don't know how to balance all that out. But I choose to be responsible. I choose to be faithful. I try to make good decisions. But in that whole process as well, I trust the sovereignty of God. And God said, I want you to be faithful. I want you to be obedient. And for them, it means taking the land. That's the process of sanctification. It's part of the process of sanctification for them. Part of the process of obedience. And Caleb wasn't saying, hey, got a spot to kick back. I'm 85 years old. I want to sit back. I want to watch the kids work. I'm tired. No, let's go. Let's take the land. God has given us an inheritance. He has given us the strength. He has given us the commission. And he's told us he's going to bring victory. So let's go, guys. Let's take it. That's part of the sanctification that God has called him to live in. How about for us? I want to read through a number of verses. And this is part one of those places where we need to start to slow down. And we won't be able to slow down a whole lot here, but this is where I want to encourage you to slow down at home and take these verses and sit down and then read through them again and really listen to what is being said. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 19. Therefore, my son, Paul is talking to Timothy and exhorting him, encouraging him as his son in the faith. Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. share in this suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in the concerns of civilian life. He seeks to please the commanding officer. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to get a share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead and descended from David according to my gospel, for which I suffer to the point of being bound like a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. That is why I endure all things for the elect, so that they also may obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we also live with him. If we endure, we also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remember these things and charge them before God not to fight. Remember these things and charge them before God. So he's telling Timothy, and this is what Timothy needs to charge others with, and charge them before God not to fight about words. This is useless and leads to the ruin of those who listen. Be diligent to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, correctly teaching or correctly handling the word of truth. Avoid irreverent and empty speech, since those who engage in it will produce even more godlessness, and their teaching will spread like gangrene. Hymenaeus and Philetus are among them. They have departed from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place and are ruining the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, bearing this inscription: the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who calls on the name of the Lord turn away from wickedness. And we start to read through that, and we see the challenge, and we see the exhortation of those things that start to bring transformation into our lives as we submit to the sanctification process in Christ. See, Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, died on that cross of Calvary, rose again from the dead. God fulfilled his promise to provide a redeemer. And when you, if you have come to a point in your journey where you have put your faith and your trust in Jesus, Jesus has given you eternal life, but he has also given you the Holy Spirit as that deposit, as that guarantee in your life to help you become who Jesus desires you to be. And now God says, I want you to be transformed. I want you to pursue the journey of becoming more and more like me. And you have the Holy Spirit working in your life to help you to complete that journey. This is why what we said at the beginning is so important. God keeps his promises. God keeps his word. See, God has given us his Spirit to help transform us and shape us and change us after the image of Christ. Jesus has promised us that we can become more and more like him if we are willing to walk that journey. He is going to keep his word if you are willing to follow and to listen. Now again, we're going to get to another part, but my journey follows the choices I make. You choose. In the midst of all the sovereignty of God and how all that plays out, you still need to choose to walk with and trust and follow Jesus. You still need to make that choice every day to be obedient to Christ. It's a choice, but we are called also to that sanctification process. Let's go to Ephesians 4. I love this. And then we'll go to Ephesians 2. The one who descended is also the one who ascended from above all the heavens to fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So he's talking particularly about my role, Winchester's role, and others that God has given specifically to lead the church and to serve the church. But this is why he has given it: to equip the saints for the work of ministry to build the body of Christ. He didn't give evangelists, prophets, pastors, and priests, don't mean I have all that right, but all those roles to do everything. He's given us those placed us here to equip. Why? So that the rest of us together can build up the body of Christ, and so that the rest of us together can do the work of ministry. Until what? Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we will no longer be little children tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning and cleverness and the techniques of deceit. So we've had the privilege of having Kalani around a little bit. Okay? And we say no. Whatever's in her hands, fling! Throw them at her. Fit, you know, little kid tantrum, little kid disagreement. Don't like it, slam it on the ground, throw it. All it needs to change. That's child behavior. That's baby behavior. God is looking for a different behavior. Because then we will no longer be tossed like little children. We won't be acting like kids. We'll start to grow up in our faith. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into Him who is the head, Christ. From Him, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for the building itself up in love by the proper working of each individual part. Therefore I say this and testify in the Lord, you should no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thoughts. They are darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them and because of the hardness of their hearts. Man, our world pumps so much stuff at us, and our world says to us, look at us, act like us, behave like us, do what we do, think how we think. We read the Word, and the Word says, don't do that. Don't think like the world, don't act like the world, don't do like the world. Do like Jesus. Think like Jesus. Act like Jesus. They became callous and gave themselves over to promiscuity for the practice of every kind of impurity with a desire for more and more. But that is not how you came to know Christ. You didn't come to know Jesus through the patterns of the world. Did you catch what that guy was saying on the video for the weekend for the men? He says, I can't follow Jesus because I don't know how to follow Jesus because it's hard to follow Jesus. And he says, guys, you came to Jesus because you couldn't do it on your own. You couldn't do it on your own. You didn't know how to follow Jesus on your own. You had to come to Jesus and trust Jesus to be transformed by Jesus. You can't do it on your own. And we didn't come to know Jesus by how we lived in the world. We came to know Jesus differently. But that is not how you came to know Christ, assuming you heard about Him and were taught by Him as the truth is in Christ, or is in Jesus, to take off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness and righteousness and purity of the truth. Therefore, putting away lying, speaking the truth, each one to his neighbor, because we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Man, sometimes that's hard, isn't it? Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and don't give the devil an opportunity. Let the thief no longer steal. Instead, he is to do honest work with his own hands so that he has something to share with anyone in need. No foul language should come from your mouth, but only what is good for the building up someone in need, so that it gives grace to those who hear. And don't grieve God's Holy Spirit. You were sealed by Him for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, anger, and wrath, shouting, and slander be removed from you, along with all malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. Well, it's not the Godfather this time. Now, those are the things that God wants us to do. That's the sanctification process, the transformation process that God wants to take place in us, isn't it? Those are the changes that He wants to see. And God helps us in that process. I got to read Ephesians 2 as well because it's just so great. And you were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you previously walked according to the ways of this world, according to the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit now working in the disobedient. We too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts, and we were by nature children under wrath as the others were also. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love that he has for us, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in trespass. You are saved by grace. He also raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might display the immeasurable riches of his grace through his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For you were saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not from works, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. Amen. See, we are talking about this transformation process, and I want you to understand that we are also supposed to practice the sanctification process, just as the Israelites who occupied the land were presented with a challenge. Now sanctify the land, walk with the Lord, pursue him with obedience. Don't get wrapped up and tied into the things that your neighbors do. Don't listen to their lies. Don't listen to their deceits. Don't practice their behavior. Reject their religion. I want you to walk with me. I want you to trust with me. I want you to follow me. I want you to believe in me. Trust me, and we will take this land, and we will make this place, and we will make this land what I have desired it to be for your good and for my glory. And that's the sanctification that God is calling the people of Israel to step into. And we need to understand that we also are called into a sanctification process of being transformed men and women who will walk with Jesus, reflect Jesus, and honor him in our journey. See, both there's a sanctification process, and for us, there's a sanctification process to the journey we are called to walk. Now, in all of that, continue resting in the sovereignty and provision of God. I love this next part. Their inheritance was by lot, as the Lord commanded through Moses. You know how it works, right? Okay, guys, I got 12 sticks here. I got 12 sticks to divide the various places of the land. And then, after you pick your stick, all the various households are going to come up. And they got a whole pile of sticks. And each of you is going to pick up a stick, and on that stick is an outline and a designation of where your particular area will be. They didn't say, hey, guys, let's call the realtor. They didn't say, hey, let's do a video tour of the land and see where you want to settle. God said, okay, we're going to determine all of this by lot. You don't get to pick. God gets to pick for you. So come up here, guys. Grab a stick. And let's see where each tribe is going to land. And then after each tribal leader grabs a stick and knows where each of those pieces of land are going to be, then we're going to divide that up to all of you by lot. Purely by the sovereignty and the gifting of God. There's so much in our journey where things happen, and we just got to trust God. So many things happen in your journey where we just have to trust God. I'll say this for me. For John and I, over these last few weeks, God's been pouring that on us in steroids. Just bringing some things into our life that are totally beyond our control, that we need to trust him and that we have no control over it. And we just have to trust him. Don't you like having things brought into your life that you have absolutely no control over? Isn't that a wonderfully fun experience? You're not cheering, you're groaning. We want to groan, but we shouldn't. And we're inclined to groan, but we shouldn't. But rather, we should be holding on to the fact that God is on his throne. He knows what he is doing, even though right now we might be totally confused and it just might not make any sense to us at all. We hold on to his grace, we hold on to his power, and we continue to walk in obedience, and we continue to make wise choices and wise decisions as we walk, even knowing that God is on his throne, and as we walk, we don't know how it's all going to work out, we don't know how it's all going to fall down or work together, but trusting that God is going to work all things together for his good to those who know him and are called according to his purpose. You just walk, and you choose to make good decisions in that process. And the people of Israel, they didn't get to choose. They did not get to choose. They were given a plot of land that would be theirs. And then they were told, take the land. God will be with you, but now take the land. Are we willing to trust God with those big things that scare us or that intimidate us and sometimes feel way outside of our control? We need to. People of Israel, the people of Israel first are in Egypt slaves. And God gave them freedom. And they struggled to get rid of the slave mindset. And they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years as those with the slave mindset died away. And then they came to the land, and God gave victory and hollowed out the land to make it safe and secure for them to go in and start to take possession of the land. But we still need to trust. We still need to trust. They still need to trust, even as land is allotted. One more thing stands out. Beware of the potential disaster that comes from misunderstandings. You know, misunderstandings happen. You know, misunderstandings happen this way. You should have told me. Anyone ever say that? You should have told me. Or why didn't you tell me? Now, we say that. But then on the other side of that point, when you're the one who's being told, you should have told me, or why didn't you tell me, but you're the one having that said to you, did you think you needed to say anything? Probably not. You were maybe thinking it all makes sense, they should understand, right? Or you're doing stuff and you're thinking, I don't see any issues with this. But misunderstandings happen, don't they? It happened to my sister-in-law the other day. A little fender bender. That was a misunderstanding. Okay? One person thought they could go, and one person thought they should stop, or whoever all that works out. Boy, this is how come I don't put Christian bumper stickers on my car, by the way. I just don't. I don't put them on my car because periodically I just do something stupid. In fact, I almost did it coming in because I get off the highway down here, I get off the parkway, and I come in, and you come, and you get onto, you're going to come down to, what is it, Water Street? Not Water Street, what is this little street down here? Colfax goes down, whatever that road is down there. And you come out, and you have two lanes. But many people are looking to get off and go left. But you have to go, you have to kind of like do this little whoosh. And so they all sit there while the right lane is empty. And that lane goes straight, and I want to go straight. So often I end up going past all those people, stop there, and whoosh, pull into that lane that goes straight. And I was almost going to do that this morning until the light turned green. And if I had done that, I had to cut that person off. So I had to keep on going straight. But every once in a while, something happens where you have a misunderstanding, or you have make a mistake, or you're not even thinking about it, and you realize, oh, I should have done this differently. This is happening with the people of Israel. Look at verses 9 to 12 of chapter 22. The Reubenites, Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh left the Israelites at Shiloh in the land of Canaan to return to their own land of Gilead, which they took possession of according to the Lord's command through Moses. When they came to the region of the Jordan in the land of Canaan, the Reubenites, Gadites, and the half tribe of Manasseh built a large, impressive altar there by the Jordan. Then the Israelites heard it said, "Look, the Reubenites and the Gadites, half the tribe of Manasseh, have built an altar on the frontier of the land of Canaan, on the region of the Jordan, on the Israelite side." So just paint the picture, they're going home. Moses or Joshua has released them to go home. The land has been distributed. They're on their way home. And as they cross the Jordan and they start to, before they disperse to go to the various tribes, they build a really large altar. The foundation for misunderstanding. Go on to the next few verses. The Israelites sent Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the priest, to the Reubenites, Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh in the land of Gilead. They sent 10 leaders with him, one family leader from each tribe of Israel, all of them heads of their ancestral families among the clans of Israel. They went to the Reubenites, Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh in the land of Gilead and told them, "This is what the Lord's entire community says. What is this treachery you have committed today against the God of Israel by turning away from the Lord and building an altar for yourselves so that you are in rebellion against the Lord today?" Boy, I'm glad they're just having a casual conversation. No, man, these guys are ticked off. They are ready to go to war. What do you mean? What is wrong with you? They did something what they considered well-intended. They did something what they considered a good idea. And it totally ticked off the other 9.5 tribes. Now, as you see the notes there, learn to practice wisdom of asking questions and listening before we fight. Man, am I glad they did that. I'm glad they didn't gird up for war. I'm glad they sent Phinehas and leaders of the other tribes to ask a question first. Learn to ask questions. Learn to listen. I mean, sometimes we're great at asking questions and we're lousy at listening. By the way, some premarital counseling advice. I have this conversation all the time with couples that I talk about before they get married. Because we know that as married folk, we never argue. There's always harmony and agreement. But isn't this the interesting way of disagreeing? I state my case, and then I stop to catch my breath, and so then the other party begins to state their case. But as they're stating their case, Well, as I was stating my case, they weren't listening at all. They weren't listening at all. They were just preparing the argument for their case. And now as I caught my breath and they started their argument for their case, I'm not listening at all. Because now I'm thinking of the next things I want to say in the presentation of my argument, and I've heard one or two things that they've said that's absolutely wrong, and so I'm going to tell them why they're wrong as well. And so then as they catch their breath, I jump in. And I then tell them why they're wrong, and I continue to tell them why I'm right, but they aren't listening to me. Because one, they're catching their breath, but then two, they haven't finished what they want to say, and they're considering how they're going to continue to say what they want to say, and they've now heard one or two things that I've said that they totally disagree with, and now they're going to tell me why I am wrong. And so they're waiting for me to catch my breath again. So then I catch my breath, and they start. But again, am I listening? No, I'm not listening. Because they have interrupted me once again. And I haven't finished presenting my argument as to why I am right and they are wrong and why they need to do what I have said and why everything that I am doing is perfectly clear, perfectly understandable, and there's nothing wrong with what I'm suggesting. And if they would just be quiet and listen, all would be good. But no, they're too busy now arguing with me, saying the same thing. If you would just listen, you would make sense, and then we'd all be on the same page. And what needs to happen? We both need to learn to shut up a little bit and to listen a whole lot. And ask questions and really try to understand. I am so glad that they sent people to have a conversation and to listen. Instead of sending an army to fight. And so often, when we have disagreements, we gird up to fight instead of showing up to question and listen. Listen to this next part. The Reubenites, Gadites, and a half-tribe of Manasseh answered the heads of the Israelite clans. The Mighty One, God, the Lord. The Mighty One, God, the Lord, He knows. And may Israel also know. Do not spare us today if it was in rebellion or treachery against the Lord, that we have built for ourselves an altar to turn away from Him. May the Lord himself hold us accountable if we intended to offer burnt offerings and grain offerings on it, or to sacrifice fellowship offerings on it. We actually did this from a specific concern that in the future your descendants might say to our descendants, what relationship do you have with the Lord, the God of Israel? For the Lord has made the Jordan a border between you and your descendants of Reuben and Gad. And you have no share in the Lord, so your descendants may cause our descendants to stop fearing the Lord. Therefore we said, let's take action and build an altar for ourselves, but not for burnt offerings or sacrifice. Instead, it is to be a witness between us and you and between the generations after us, so that we may carry out the worship of the Lord in His presence with our burnt offerings, sacrifices, and fellowship offerings. Then in the future, your descendants will not be able to say to our descendants, you have no share in the Lord. We thought that if they said this to us, to our generations in the future, we would reply, look at the replica of the Lord's altar that our ancestors made. Not for burnt offerings or sacrifice, but as a witness between us and you. We would never ever rebel against the Lord or turn away from Him today by building an altar for burnt offerings, grain offerings, or sacrifice, other than the altar of the Lord our God, which is in front of His tabernacle. Guys, we were just trying to take intentional actions to overcome the obstacles that could separate us. Guys, we're looking at the reality of a river and time. And we don't want a river or time to become obstacles that separate us. And we were erecting a reminder, both for our side, but also for your side, to remind us that we are all in this together and that we all worship the same God. This was not for worship, but this was to serve as a reminder. Now, when the tribes left, might it have been helpful and productive for them to have communicated to the other tribes what their intention was? Yes. I didn't hear you. Yes. Might it have been helpful?
Yes.
Yes! But can I tell you something? They may not have thought about it then. They might have thought about it as they're crossing the Jordan River. And they're getting there and they're saying, man, this is a big river. This takes time to get across. This is not easy. We should remind everyone that we're on the same page. We should remind everyone that we're in this together. Now, might have it been profitable for them to send someone back and say, hey guys, just want to let you know, we built something over there. We're not trying to run from the God. We just built something to remind you and us that we're all in this together. But isn't that like life? We don't always take the time to always communicate all the details as well as we should. And then what happens? Misunderstanding kicks in. And what's going on? Why do you do this? I don't understand. Why is all this stuff happening? I want you to see the value of learning to listen and learning to ask questions when misunderstanding surfaces. It's just good practice. And we see that practice taking place right here as the land has been divided, the land has been conquered, and they have no intention of creating division. No intention of creating division. No intention of separating themselves apart. But misunderstanding started to kick in. And what could have led to conflict and war and division, instead of was resolved, and it brought harmony and agreement. Why? Because they were willing to ask questions and they were willing to listen. The people on the other side of the river, they had to listen. When the 10 tribe leaders and a priest came, they didn't stand there to fight. They chose to listen to what was asked so that they could respond with clarity as to the choices they made. We will have misunderstandings in life, won't we? We won't ever have misunderstandings in church, will we? Oh man, don't we sometimes? We really do sometimes. Just as they had misunderstanding here. But choosing to handle that wisely, asking questions, and then really learning to listen. Now I have here as this last question, what do you take away from today? What do you need to think through and work on addressing? Okay, so what? What do you need to do? We're going to enter into and we're going to partake of communion. And as you do that, I would encourage you to spend some time asking and answering that so what question. Are you here today and you don't know Jesus? You're here today and you have not yet come to a point in your journey where you've said, okay, I'm going to trust Jesus as my Savior. I would say, in answer to that so what question, I would say to you, today is a day to put your faith and trust in Jesus. Today is a day to trust Him. And if you need one of these, wave your hand and Vicky will come by to you. My wife has scolded me for this in the past. It was not a misunderstanding. I have another one. We'll save some steps for Vicki. Anyone else need one? Okay. Bill needs one too. But I would encourage you, if you don't know, if you have not yet come to a point in your journey where you put your faith and trust in Jesus, the first thing you should be thinking about is trusting Jesus as your Savior. Because you need Jesus. You need him. But if you put your faith and trust in Jesus, then what else is going on in your life? Are there issues in your sanctification journey where you're pushing God off and you're saying no? Are there issues in your life where you're saying to Jesus, yeah, I'm not ready to walk with you there yet. I'm not willing to follow you there. I'm not willing to listen to you there yet. And maybe he's trying to get your attention to say, no, I want you to trust me. I want you to follow me. Maybe there's some things happening in your life and you're arguing with God and you're wrestling with God because God has allowed some things to happen in your life that are a stretch for you. Winchester, could you guys need one? Okay, you need one? Winchester, go grab me another one. Maybe in your journey, you need to start asking Jesus, Jesus, how can I trust you? And Jesus, build some faith and trust in me because, man, I'm dying here. I'm struggling here. I'm hurting here. Thank you. And Jesus, I don't see how your sovereignty is at work, and I don't see what it is you're going to do through this. And I'm just totally confused, and this is really making it difficult for me to follow you. Man, I got to think, when Billy was having that stuff, you're having pretty significant, major conversations with God. When Jonah and I couldn't have kids. Now, we got 4 kids now because we adopted them, but we couldn't have kids biologically. We had a long conversation with God about that. Okay, God, what is it you're doing? We have things that happen in life when we lost control. Oh, man. Let me tell you, I wrestled with God for months. And we wrestle with the things that God allows to come into our lives. And well, God, what are you doing? And maybe you have some of those things going on in your life right now. And maybe that's something that you need to have a serious, significant conversation with God about. Maybe in that last one, maybe there's some misunderstandings going on in your life or around your life. And maybe you need to start asking some questions, but then also really listening to understand what's going on. And then not just listen to the other person, but then also listen to the Spirit of God as he'll speak into your life. Really learn to ask real questions and then to listen. As we take a few minutes to have a conversation with God, if some of those things that we're talking about are things that are going on in your life, have that conversation with God as we prepare our hearts partake of these elements of communion. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that in you we find answers. And when we don't always find the answers in the here and now, we at least find the strength to walk forward in a way that honors you, to walk forward in a way that reflects you, and to walk forward in a way that bolsters us and enables us to walk well with you. Jesus, I thank you for your going to the cross of Calvary. I just think of the disciples as they interacted with you that last evening. They just didn't get it. They would argue with you and tell you no, and they just didn't get what you were about. They didn't really get it till later. But Jesus, I thank you that we can trust you. And I thank you that you were willing to take our punishment upon yourself. And Father, this bread we're about to partake, it just reminds us of the punishment that we deserve, the brutality that we deserve to have poured out on us, the punishment for sin, the consequence for sin. And yet, God, you chose to give us Jesus. Father, you chose to give us Jesus so that the consequence would be borne by him and so that we could have life. Jesus, I want to say thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus, for that sacrifice. Thank you, Jesus, for taking my place. Father, as I say my, it's not just me that's saying my, it's Father, it's all of us here. Thank you for taking my place. It's in our precious Savior's name we pray. Amen. As you take out that wafer, Scripture says that Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples. He says, "This is my body which is broken for you. Do this for remembrance of me." Let's partake together. Jesus then also took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." A new covenant. Something different to govern our steps. Something different to govern how we live. Something different to govern the choices we choose to make. A covenant where we receive forgiveness of sin, but also a covenant where the Holy Spirit comes and takes a precedence, seeking to help transform us after the image of Christ as we choose to walk in obedience. A new covenant. Let's partake. Scripture says we drink this cup until he comes again. Now Paul wrote, and he was expecting Jesus to come back any moment. And we sit here 2,000 years later saying, okay, Jesus, we're ready. You want to know something? We still what? Need to rest in the sovereignty of God. He knows when. We just need to wait. But in that interim period, it's also important that we choose to live in a way that honors him well. I'm going to pray. The music team is going to come up. Folk are going to walk through and receive the offering. I encourage you to feel free to stay seated until the offering plate passes you by. But let's lift our voices as we close celebrating Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the privilege you give us to celebrate Jesus. Father, I thank you for the privilege you give us to give back and to honor you and to declare you are worthy, you are rich, you are good. Father, be honored as we give back. Father, be honored as we close our time here together in song. Be glorified, we ask, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.